B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Be safe out there, everybody. Please be safe. That's the one positive, is it seems like for the most part, through all this nationwide, a lot of people, most people are staying safe. People are going to be out there again later on. I'm not pleased about it, but it is what it is. The family of George Floyd has spoken out today, and I believe they called for peace today. So at that point, we should respect their wishes. I mean, first of all, I always want peace. I just know that people who have not felt peace are not necessarily going to be the first ones to give peace, if that makes sense. Like, if you don't feel that, the reality is, now, right now, it looks like at most places, there is more law enforcement than actual people in most sites that I'm seeing so far today. Whether it's good or bad, it's just maybe they're getting them there earlier in the day with the National Guard and more police than the actual people. We'll see what happens after dark, though, as usual. So,
yeah, hopefully it's, it, you know, because there was death last night, too, you know, shootings in the city. So just the
well, they know the cops aren't patrolling the streets.
Well, that so it's again, the eventual end all be all goal of all of this is life. So,
yes,
that's the ultimate goal here, yes, for everybody is to live. That's the goal.
I must say that the Frank Rizzo statue, if I may, is the most powerful statue in the world. We've had Lenin and Stalin and Saddam Hussein statues ripped down, 4 million Confederate statue, all these statues, yet that Rizzo statue is the strongest statue in the history of the world.
The first thing cleaned up, too.
Yeah, like, and that was the funny part. The rest of the city's trash. First things first, guys, let's go out there and get this Rizzo statue cleaned up and put 900 cops around it. And then let's go to the rest of the city. That statue is I know the caller was being serious. I'm joking. I'm trying to have a little levity here. But that thing is, they can't do anything with it.
So allegedly, it was going to be moved. Remember, the mayor said he was going to move it.
Yeah.
Allegedly, it costs like hundreds of thousands to move it because it's bolted into basically the core of the earth.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to dig up all that concrete to move it. So they were going to wait until they were going to do the entire renovation.
Okay.
That's what they were going to do. Clearly, you know, not foreseeing, you know, riots in the middle of a global pandemic.
Yeah, that double whammy.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we can't underestimate. This happening during a pandemic absolutely made things worse.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Some people absolutely were out there, I will admit, solely to get up out the house because they hadn't been out of the house.
Probably.
They hadn't been out of the house. There were people out there. Now, I'm not saying that they were necessarily the violent ones or the peaceful ones, but they were absolutely, if we're being, again, the word of the day is responsibility. We have a responsibility to reality. There was absolutely a percentage of people who were like, you know what? I've been in the house since March 11th.
Yeah.
I'm going outside.
Yeah. Yes. And I said it earlier. I'm sure there are people that are angry that they've only gotten a $1,200 stimulus check, right?
Yep.
Like, that, there was outrage from that.
There
because what is $1,200 going to do?
When you got a family.
And you're out of work.
Right.
Right? Like, I got a stimulus check, right? And I'm like, why did I get that? I'm still working. Like,
right.
I'm fortunate. I'm still working.
Right.
What is $1,200 going to do for somebody who is out of a job, like you said, has a family, he's probably paying rent on top of also getting food for their kids.
Right.
So I'm sure there are people that were out there.
Absolutely.
Because that they're outraged about. And they haven't had a chance to speak out about it yet.
And there is the leadership, and I try to stay clean on this stuff because too much of my background isn't in sports, and I don't want to go there. A lot of the leadership is polarizing. And when leadership is polarizing, and you put polar people out like that, and you don't have a direct message, it makes it tougher.
Yeah, and especially even when you do try and convey a message, it's not, you know, it's never actually like direct.
Yeah.
Or like streamlined.
Right.
Like coherent.
Right.
Couple, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So when you're trying to talk to people and you can't communicate effectively, that kind of hinders any sort of message that you should be giving.
Right. It does. 610-632-0975. Khalil in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you for having me.
Oh, thanks for calling. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though, how am I going to say this? Quite simple. There's not one thing that would change race relations in America. You know, but I think it would be a combination of things, and I think you guys have touched on it. But one thing that breaks my heart a lot that I do not hear a lot of, through any media, through social media, regular media, whatever, is that one of the biggest things I think that I have the biggest impact on race relations here in America is if building relationships, real relationships, deep relationships with those from other cultures and other races.
Wow, absolutely.
And Tyrone, you know, I think I found out because I was following your social media like a while back. I think when Natalie said she went to a game with your wife, and I wanted to know what your wife looked like, not in a negative way, but I found out she was white, and I was pleasantly surprised. But one thing that me and my wife went into a lot, and we're both black, mm-hmm. but I'm from South Philly. I'm from the mud. I'm from the hood in South Philly.
Right, I get you.
So with that said, we have been in great situations to develop relationships, not working relationships like people we work with, but people we're in deep relationships with from other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Some are police officers from all different walks of life. Some are ex-farmers or live on a farm. And it's fascinating to get to know people and to understand people. And when you do that, it educates you on why certain people have certain viewpoints, or it helps to melt and break down all of the barriers. And even in the midst of that, like I have white people that my kids consider aunts and uncles.
Right.
And some have money, some don't. And it's the same with us. So with that said, I think that a lot of people, a lot of fussing, a lot of arguing, a lot of miscommunication comes when you don't have people who know other people. And anytime there's a race conversation or a race debate with people, the first thing I ask them is, how many people are you intimately in relationship with from other cultures? And the minute they say none, I say, we can't have this conversation. Unless.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's my bad, Khalil. I've read a lot over the weekend. I was trying to stay off social media. I was trying to be productive, and I'm trying to stay corona free. So I did a lot of reading over the weekend. And currently in America, 75% of Caucasian people claim that they have zero black friends.
Wow.
Now, that was just something I read over the weekend. 75% have zero black friends. And that was with the Caucasian people able to give their definition of friend. Because there's times where you think somebody's your friend, they're not your friend. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
This was, they were asked, not what the black person thinks about them, more
yeah.
like 75%, and then, and the most in this large survey that white people had that friends were 10% of their friends were black. That was the maximum.
Right.
They said, and that was a person who had 95 total friends, and 9 were black. So almost 10% were black of their 95 friends. I don't know who these people are with 95 friends.
I was going to say, who has 95 friends?
I don't have 5 friends. So, like, I don't know. But 90. So, the issue with that is I can't go out and tell, hey, Andrew, why don't you go get some black friends? Hey, Natalie, I see your little crew when you were going out. Not enough black faces. Like, I don't think that's a realistic or a correct way to approach things. But I will say that my white friends seem to have a better understanding of this situation than other Caucasian people who don't have black friends, if that makes sense.
Well, and I think, and I really like that caller's point that, you know, relationships, you know, when you have relationships with people, you really get to know people for who they are, for who they are on the inside.
Right.
So if for whatever reason you've never been exposed to black people or you're not around them, see, I growing up in Philly, my high school was incredibly diverse. Like, I it was just part of my life, you know? So, mm-hmm. And I always say this, I feel so blessed to be from Philadelphia because I didn't know another way. I didn't know that there was that people lived another way than out that didn't have such diversity.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like with anybody in life, you don't know, unless you know somebody, the superficial judgments like shouldn't matter. And I think that that's also what gets lost here too, because it's just, and you don't know this person, you don't know their soul, you don't know what they like or their favorite color, and every person has those qualities to them. That's what makes us people.
It does.
So I
think a lot of people though, it's uncomfortable at times. Like I've had people, I'll explain. They invite me over and they'll think that I want a different kind of beer. Or if they're drinking a light colored liquor, that I would perhaps want some Hennessy. And there are people who make a lot of presumptions at first. Having your first black friend when you've had no black friends can be tough.
Right.
The person. Okay. I'm saying that because I'm trying to say, I'm fine. First of all, I don't go to another person's house empty handed. So you don't got to worry about what I'm going to drink.
No.
I brought it.
You're bringing the tequila.
Yeah. So you, right. You just have a mixer. I'm fine. I brought some and I will leave. I'll have a little bit and I will leave this behind. And now you will have. And if you don't drink what I have, the next time I come over, then you can, before you invite me, say, hey, you have a lot of that tequila left here at the house.
Yeah.
But I've had that where they felt nervous.
Right.
The first time I went over. And it's just an observation. And I like, well, all right. And the difference is, though, it's harder for a black person to go through life without dealing with white people than it is for white people to go through life and not have to deal with black people.
Right.
Black people have to. Everywhere I've gone, like I've just been places where I was the only black person.
Right.
I'm the person where, you know, one of two, only black guy, like all kind, like that happens all the time in this business and others. So you learn naturally, I guess, as a black person, how to deal or interact with white people, while a lot of white people can go through all kinds of jobs in life and never actually have to deal or interact with black people.
And again, what does that say?
I mean, some of it's numbers. Some of it's numbers. Some of it is raw math.
I know, but, you know, I'm just
some
saying.
Some of it's math.
I'm just saying.
All right, James. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, James?
Let me come at this from a lot of different angles, from being in the struggle and knowing the history of things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So if this guy, suppose we just saw this happen on the street, and we saw him shoot somebody, kill somebody, that's a different story, I say. But the way we see this, and we saw it just like it happened, the riot would have started that day. Because me, my family, my friends that grew up would not have let that man die in that position right then.
Right.
He might have died another time. Or we could have been hurt afterwards. But we wouldn't have let that man die right there like that. That's ridiculous.
But so at the same time,
people.
But James,
people,
hold on. Remember, there was cops. Hold on. There were cops guarding him. And if you had interceded, you would have gotten shot.
Sometimes you have to have a sense of self. We wouldn't have let that happen, period. People may have got shot. That could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have let that man go like that. That's ridiculous, dude. It didn't have to go that way. And sometimes you got to have a sense of self. Right or wrong, right or wrong, sometimes you got to be your brother's keeper no matter what happened. No matter what happens. And then we come at this from another angle.
Uh-huh.
Bad racist cops. Just hear me out. You might say I'm advocating anything, but bad racist cops, those acts are going to happen again.
Yes.
No matter what anybody thinks, listen to me, they are going to happen again.
Yes.
So everybody that thinks they're not is ridiculous. Everybody black needs to learn to be their brother's keeper. Listen to me. You have to, see, you're going to have to get biblical with this, because protesting congressmen, black congressmen, women, they're trying their best, but, you know, even charging these guys sometime, they're still going to go through the court system.
Right, and they should go through the court system. We cannot have vigilante justice. So the cop's job is to arrest and allow that person to have a trial. George Floyd it would have been a citation. It was a alleged dirty $20 bill. I mean, he wasn't going to really do real time for it. But and then also, you can't then go out there and what he was alluding to, I don't agree with either. Everybody has to be treated the same way in these situations. Or if we're going to profile, let's profile in a way that would actually help people sometimes. How come I got to get all the negative profiling, but I can't, I've mentioned, why do I have to go through security at the airport? I should not have to go through security at the airport because I'm not going to be a terrorist. So they should do a light pat down with me and let me go. Andrew, watch them. Watch them. Natalie, watch her. They could be sympathetic to the cause. You know I'm not sympathetic to the cause. The next time a black person does anything around a plane illegal, it'd be the first time. No hijacking. Come on. Shoe bomber. No way. No way. So profile me in that way. Like, okay, if you're going to follow me around the mall, you got to let me be the man at the airport.
Right.
I only get the negative ones.
Right.
Give me some of the positive ones.
Mm-hmm.
If it's certain crimes, wait, looking at me. Like certain things you let go. Certain things, and then watch Andrew. It doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's what we should do. We
Interesting.
Should, yeah, we should improve profiling if we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Doing it in a way that'll help somebody.
Even the playing field.
Even the playing field. And the airport is where I would be the king of the airport. Oh, what time are you arriving? What time's the flight? They'll say, 1:15, 1:05.
Right on in.
You got to check me. You got to show up 2 hours early. I'm just saying. It'd be the first time. It just doesn't happen. Just like if they say bear attack.
Yeah.
You know it wasn't a black person. Has there ever been a black person that's been mauled by a bear? I say that because in my area, there was on social media, there was a bear sighting. And Lou was like, be careful going running. And I go, I mean, I'm not going to be the Jackie Robinson of bear attacks.
Right,
not going to be the first
Your
black
pool,
guy
maybe.
The pool of camping. But not of bear.
Not, well.
No, I knew somebody out there who was prepared.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said if I had saw a bear, they would say, oh, don't worry about it. He won't hurt you. Nah, but I would hurt it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I caught it. Yeah, there's this bear. Yeah, I'm just letting you know he's here. Come get him. He's not going to move because he can't, but come get him. Yeah, bear. Come get the bear. Just get him. Uh-huh. Oh, how close did he get? On 300 yards? Yeah, I was too close. It's a bear. They run faster than me. They can climb faster than me.
I was going to say, do you think you could outrun it?
No.
No?
No. And I wouldn't take the chance.
How fast do they run? Are they really that fast?
I think they can motor.
They can get going?
They can get going.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you can Google. A black bear. I don't know what kind of bear it was. I wouldn't get close enough to find out. Oh, what color was the bear? Brownish or black? It wasn't a polar bear, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. It wasn't a polar bear.
Right.
Just get him. I don't know. I heard he got shot 6 times. And I checked. That bear's not going to make it. Come on. It's a bear in a neighborhood. I wouldn't go into the woods and get the bear.
Right.
But you come out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to you happens to you. Miami Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Ty?
What's up, Miami Mike?
Well, I've been waiting through Anthony, and I've been listening to this program. You're doing a great job, but one thing you guys are missing.
Yes.
I don't care who you elect. If I was ever in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, where my honey's from, I would have fired from the top guy down through that whole police department to let 2 guys stay on that police department, 18 complaints, yeah. 12 on the other, nothing ever was done.
Right. That's a good point.
Let me tell you something. And I don't care if you say, I'm talking as an Italian-American. White and Afro-Americans got to get together until you change the political structure that those black people that we elect have to work for the black people in general. That doesn't happen, Ty. Trust me. The political corruption takes over. The only way you stop that is you elect people that are very qualified, that are going to make these changes, not next year, today.
Right away. Now you're speaking real. You're speaking real, Mike. It's
I'm giving it to you quick because I could tell you stories what I went through, and I'm not black.
So let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
If you're a black leader and you have to work with a lot of white people, and I'm saying from the inside, as a black leader, though, do you have to worry about alienating your colleagues and the people that you work with if you come in too pro-black as a black leader? Does that happen in your experience, Mike?
That happens on an occasion. I go back to North New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
50 years, I went through two riots.
Yeah.
I almost got killed. My best friend was killed.
Now,
I'm coming from law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
North hasn't changed that much. Your people have been in there. So obviously, we're not electing the right people.
Wow. Wow. Seemed like he was in a hot tub.
I know, was he?
He's in a hot tub. Probably was. He sounded like a man that liked to relax.
I was going
to
say, he sounded pretty relaxed, too.
Yeah, sounded like a relax, because he was dropping real stuff, kind of like nonchalantly.
Yeah.
Like a man likes to relax. Obviously, voting and all of those things are very important. Obviously, voting is very important. And this is, once again, though, this is where it puts me in a tough spot. It's not about how I vote. See, me voting a certain way now, more of people who look like me voting can absolutely make a difference. Absolutely. And more people who look like me should vote. But when you're a minority, you need the majority to also vote in your self-interest, at least nationally. Locally, different. If you're in a all-black neighborhood, you absolutely can have control over your people. But I'm saying nationally, I need the majority to consider me when they're making their vote. I need that, because you can look at the last election by numbers. People that look like me voted did not vote for the person that won. Like, hardly at all. But enough people who didn't did, and that's what happened. So voting is clearly important, but I think still the outreach and the relationships matter just as much, so that people who don't look like me feel the need to include me, and how they may treat me be put into the equation when they decide to vote. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. And heavy day. Excuse me for having some levity in that last segment. I understand that some people aren't in the mood to play, and I don't blame them. We're not doing a Twitter poll today because of the seriousness of the subject. But if we did, it would be brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Got some news right here from the George Floyd situation. His family did not trust the Minneapolis medical examiner for whatever reason and did an independent autopsy, and the results are now in. His death was caused by asphyxia due to neck and back compression that led to a lack of blood flow to the brain.
Oh, so all of those underlying conditions didn't just decide to flare up at that certain time.
No.
Right?
That was from USA Today, a person who works out of, from USA Today. So the video that we all saw with our own eyes didn't lie. If you shoot somebody, it doesn't matter if they had high blood pressure.
Correct.
Like, this was, it was really insulting, and, you know. That was that. So,
whew, that level of a cover up is something, isn't it?
But that's the thing. Now they'll say the medical examiner will say this was preliminary and blah blah blah. But the other doctor was able to get this right quick. So, plus they kind of had some evidence. Like, if you get shot and they see you get shot on video, the first thing the autopsy looks at is like the bullet wound,
probably
what it hit.
Yeah.
So like, you probably should check the neck.
Yeah.
But whatever. So that's where we're at with that. Traffic and everything around Philly, things apparently aren't so great. Please be careful. Please be careful. Please try to be peaceful. And to the people out there who cannot be peaceful or do not want to be peaceful, I am asking you to please be peaceful. You will. I understand why you're not being peaceful. The ones that are real, not the people that are from out of town. If you're out of town, bleep you. Go back to wherever you came from. But I understand. I understand. I feel it in a way that I'm uncomfortable with. But try to be peaceful, please. Please, if I could get one person that wasn't going to be peaceful to be peaceful, I will be very glad. Please try to be peaceful tonight. And this, too, will not last forever. Just like the pandemic won't, this will not last forever. And that pain that we have, that might last forever. But we have to deal with it. We have to live with this and keep on pushing forward. So please try to be safe and be peaceful out there tonight. Please. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty.
How you doing,
Kevin?
How you
doing, man? I'm trying to understand this guy's mindset because the thousands and thousands of people that have died from this virus,
mm-hmm.
his mindset should have been, what can he do as a police officer to stop the spread of this virus? Now, if you have to arrest this guy, if you don't have any gloves on, you give him a pair of gloves. If you don't have a mask on, you give him a mask. You put him in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to stop the spread of this virus. That should have been his mindset. But he chose to do this heinous crime because he's not on board with everybody else, you know? And
yeah, well, clearly, when you do that to a person, for that extended period of time, it's not a split second. See, this wasn't a split second situation at all. And then afterwards, to not apply chest compressions once that man is not responsive, that tells you what's in this guy's heart. Like, it's one thing from a distance to shoot a nameless, faceless person. Horrendous, horrendous, or in a fit of rage to do something. Still terrible. But this was a slow, meticulous thing that was completely avoidable, not just from him, but by any of the other officers there.
Right.
So he doesn't care about the virus. He didn't give a damn about George Floyd in any way, shape, or form.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't care. He was a monster dressed up in a police uniform. That's what he is.
You're exactly right, Kevin. And my concern isn't, I understand that there are accountants who are bad people. There are radio hosts that are bad people. There's Uber drivers or chefs or whatever that are bad people. And I understand that at the end of the day, police in Philadelphia and nationwide are people. And people are flawed. I understand that. What hurt me about that video, just other than the pure brutality and how long it took, was the fact that though that was the time when all the people, I've been told so many times that the good cop would, you know, that's what you need, a good cop when a bad cop's doing something. So am I to then believe that every cop on that scene was a bad cop? Like, how am I supposed to feel after watching that video? Because you only see the one angle. You see the one cop protecting him.
Yeah.
But then you don't see on the other side, there's multiple other cops on his body. So where in that situation, there was a bunch of them, where was the good cop? I understand that there's going to be bad cops. But where in that situation, where was it a one-on-one, were the good cops to protect George Floyd? And then if that was to happen to me, would a good cop be there to save me? And that's the part that I think a lot of people are dealing with right now. It's layered. It's layered that it's layered.
Well, so and the layer and how layered it is, which you're trying to explain to people today, is the reason why finding the answer is so difficult, because you need to break through the layers to understand what you're watching play out in front of your eyes. Right. You have to break through the levels of how complicated this is and how deep-rooted it is and how to evolve on every one of those layers. levels, if that makes sense.
It does. No, I get you. And it, when it comes down to it, not everybody wants to even have the conversation. And then on top of that, now a lot of people just want to look at it as it was an isolated incident. And that's fine if that helps you sleep at night. Everybody, your brain does things. And a lot of times your brain will do whatever it can to make you feel comfortable.
Right.
To make you feel safe. To make you feel whole. And that is part of the reason why some people act out, because they've decided that now all cops are bad. It's not right to decide that, but they've decided that. Because in their mind, you can process that. You see a cop on the left, you go right. You see a cop on the right, you go left. You avoid them. You stay away from them at all costs. No snitching, no talking under any circumstances. You don't deal with the police because you've decided in your brain that police are bad. And that helps them sleep at night. And it's just the inverse when people want to say, nah, just one isolated thing, no major problem. That
right.
helps certain people sleep at night. It's just a reality that we have to break through, and that's why we have a responsibility. All of us have different responsibilities, and I'll get more specific later in the show, but we start off with the responsibility to the reality of what's in the world. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Ty?
What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to address at least pinpoint two issues, and I've touched on one of these before with prior phone calls to the 18. A judge will never call a police officer a liar. And even when the evidence is stacked against the police officer,
mm-hmm.
he should be looking at involuntary first, second, or third degree murder. It gets knocked down to violating someone's civil rights. Officer gets slapped on the hand, keeps his job, keeps his pension, or, you know, maybe two out of the three.
Yeah.
I want to address something else. It's too easy to become a police officer. Much like you want to join the Army, you go to Fort Bragg. You want to become an officer, you go to the police academy. I think the prerequisite to be a police officer is you must have a 4-year Bachelor of Science degree, preferably in criminal justice. This way your mindset is a little different as opposed to, and look, don't get me wrong, I was in the city. I thanked about 10 police officers. I mm-hmm. said, thank you for your service.
And
I
good, said, they could, good. I'm
I
glad
said,
you
they
did.
They could give you $200 an hour today, and you would probably rather be home.
Yeah.
And thank you. One other thing, Ty. The mayor of Minneapolis needs to step down or be terminated. He could have put a lid on this very early. He was the gatekeeper to this thing. He should have charged those, or had the DA charge those guys immediately with homicide.
Something
or,
to get them off the streets. And the problem is, and this is another thing, another layer. When there's a video and it's clear to everyone else except those in charge, it makes people not trust those people in charge. And I think that this manifests itself in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not without, no city is without its problems. No city is without its problems. And then there are people who have brought up the move situation. So now you have people who in the city, if you're in your third, if you're over 40, maybe you remember it. 45 and up, younger than that, but then your parents remember it. And if you're a black person, that can skew how you look at the police. And I was coming off of Rizzo, where I can tell you, my grandfather was no fan. He was living in the city at that time. My father was no fan living in the city at that time before they moved to Willingboro, New Jersey. So there is some distrust there as well that has to be worked out. Now, that doesn't mean that the Philadelphia Police Department is corrupt in some way or wrong compared to any other police department. But all this stuff manifests itself here because there are people out there who say, you know what? Our cops would do that to us, too.
And this is where institutionalized, that's where that word comes in.
Yeah.
And this is, again, to the layers, institutionalized.
Right. So that's where we're at. And hopefully, though, we can keep talking about it and keep pushing forward. And then we can have a better day tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next year. And we can work, because I will say there are more people who don't look like me at least talking about it right now than at any point in my life. And
yeah.
And I thank every single ally. And that's why and to be an ally, I want to make it clear again, you do not have to be perfect. You do not need to know all the answers. You only have to want to have answers, and you have to want to help. And really, at this point, we all have a responsibility to do so, because right now, are you friend or foe? Do you care about me and the collective me or not? And if you do, then you and me, but you have a responsibility to be active going forward. That doesn't mean protesting. That means if your racist uncle makes a joke, you get up from the table, or you tell him that that's not okay. That means the racist coworker who wouldn't say it around me but would say it around Natalie, you have a responsibility to say that that's not okay. And the police, if you know there's a bad cop, your job is to say something about the bad cop. Not because you're a snitch, it's because he puts your life in danger. Because now you're on riot duty right now, when you wouldn't have to be on riot duty if a bad cop didn't kill somebody. So imagine when you're working with that cop that you know is bad, if he's taken off the force, there's no riots right now because he doesn't kill somebody on video. Everybody has a responsibility now. A responsibility to make this better. And no one is immune. No one is exempt. It's a call up to action right now. Every single person, if you care. If you don't care, go sit down and just be quiet. And you're good. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. 610-632-0975. Tough day, tough weekend in Philadelphia and the entire country. Trying to talk about it today and what we can do to make sure this doesn't happen again. To make sure this doesn't happen again. And remember, the word of the day is responsibility. You cannot shirk your responsibility. None of us can shirk our responsibility going forward. Mac in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Tyrone, I'm 100% in favor of the protesters. If they set something on fire, it's going to make these politicians come to the table and listen.
You know what, Mac, and I'm not... Unfortunately, that's what happens too often. It's not like people haven't been talking about this for 100 years.
Exactly.
But it seems like when these major actions happen, that's when things get done. And we have to look at why in America we can't just believe people when they're telling you over and over and over again over a number of decades.
The politicians do not listen to anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
In the 1980s, mm-hmm. there was a prison riot here in the Harrisburg area. And prisoners all but burned the jail down to the ground. And you know what? Right after that, the prison authorities came in, and they made wholesale changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't have a problem. If they burn it down, the politicians are going to finally wake up and come say, you know, we need to change things.
I hear you, Mac. And I'm uncomfortable with you burn it all down, because I do think that there are other ways. Personally, but I don't have proof that there's other ways. I will say that. I have no proof that there are other ways, because nothing to this point was able to save George Floyd's life or Breonna Taylor's life or Ahmaud Arbery's life, to the point where the guy videoing it when they chased this man with the pickup truck, when that particular case happened, he thought it would vindicate them. See, he thought it would vindicate them. And I love how people then they go on to character assassination, as if citizens are allowed to murder people in the streets or chase them down with shotguns because they said so. Like there was people who really thought
so that too, and I love the line where it's, oh well, they asked him to stop so he could talk he could talk to them. You know what? Two guys, two strangers with two shotguns
chasing me with the
chasing me in a pickup truck. You know what? Sure, let me just stop and talk to you. You seem like a nice, pleasant person.
You seem normal,
right?
Right.
Like, so literally, all three of those happened. And Breonna Taylor has just been forgotten. Hers, in some ways, was the worst. You can make the argument was the worst one because this was an organized thing in which a no-knock raid, and she shot while she's in bed. And it wasn't even her. I mean, it wasn't even her they were looking for. Wrong house, no-knock. And then her boyfriend, who ended up shooting back, because, again, they didn't announce themselves, he ended up going to prison. He's out now. They arrested him. He was in jail for, like, a while. Like that one, but there's no video of that one. So that's why that one gets forgotten and it's unfair. All of these happened while a pandemic happened. And then it's like, man, why are people so angry? Like the fact that you had to ask that kind of makes me angry, if I may. Stallworth from West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, King, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
I got a lot on my heart, bro. Like,
I don't blame you.
I'm going to try to be as eloquent as I can about it. When Kaepernick took a knee and protested quietly, too many white people had a problem with that. That wasn't the appropriate way to protest.
That's how we heard that many times on this station and nationwide, that that way, which was completely peaceful, which no one got hurt, was wrong.
That's the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So when Nike did a campaign for him, people burning up their Nikes.
Yep.
Right. He was vilified, got death threats. All right.
Cutting up his socks.
Right. That's the wrong way to protest, apparently. So now they want to say, okay, but this is the wrong way to protest. And my point is, for far too many white people, far too many white people who feel this way, there is no right way to protest in their eyes. They just want us to shut up and take oppression.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that really makes me angry, one of the things that really makes me angry, and please let me get all this out, is this. The arrogance of any white person to act as though they know how we feel to the point that they can criticize any way we feel and the ways that we are expressing our pain is ridiculous. You don't have to have the conversations that we have to have with our sons and our daughters about being careful when you interact with police so you can make it home safe.
Mm-hmm.
There's no white parents saying having those conversations. White wives aren't worried about their husbands coming home if they get pulled over in a routine traffic stop. So you can't criticize anything in terms of how we feel because you don't feel it. And in regards to police brutality, it's very simple how to solve it. You can't have police investigating police and holding them accountable because they clearly are not able to do so. You can't tell me that police officers aren't trained to de-escalate situations because they do it all the time. When they interact with white citizens, they arrest them all the time. They don't kill them. It's not that they don't know how. It's that, and we're dancing around the issue. For too many people, there is a hatred towards black people. And until we're honest about that, and until we're honest about saying this fallacy of, oh, there were a whole lot of really good cops, and it's more good cops than bad cops. Okay, what are the good cops doing? Are they turning in those bad police officers to internal affairs? Because they know who they are in their precincts. But no, they're not doing that because they don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to lose their pensions. They don't want to be the cop that's snitching. So they hold that blue line.
Yeah, that's... Look, that's... That's a little too real for some people, but that's the truth. Like, I still can't believe that Dylann Roof not only got arrested peacefully, but got some fast food right quick before he got arrested.
Dylann Roof, James Holmes.
Yeah,
all these mass murderers who are going into places of enjoyment don't get one knee on the back.
They get to
walk in handcuffs freely, guarded.
And then
freely.
And then they show
after killing multiple people, murdering multiple innocent people, they get to walk.
And then the media will show the best picture of that person possible.
Yep.
Not the mugshot. No. Look, let's find the best picture possible.
Oh, here.
How did this nice kid just turn out to be a mass murderer? I just can't believe it.
Yeah, many times you see a photo with the family or it's the graduation photo. Oh, look,
how's this scholar become a... Because he's a...
But he was a Boy Scout.
Yeah, that was a long
look,
time
ago. Look, here's his third grade picture.
Yeah, like, it's just...
Don't you feel bad for him that he just went to a movie theater and shot up and killed 15,000 people? You know what? We're going to take good care of him. We're gonna make sure that he's comfortable when he goes to jail.
Right. And then other people don't even get to make it to jail. And then we're supposed to, as black people, take in all that input, and our output supposed to be to where you're comfortable. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson, in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.